Where is the fire? Many years ago when I was in seminary, one of my friends served the local community as chaplain of the local volunteer fire department. One night he got his first call. He jumped into his car, sped down the road into the night, and a police cruiser lights flashing pulled him over. The police officer walked up to the driver's side of his car. He leaned in and he asked, "Well, sir, where's the fire?" Without hesitation, my friend said, "At 216 Sherman Pines Road." Caught off guard, the police officer stammered. He said, "Oh, well, okay then, follow me." He led the way. "Where's the fire?" You know, it's a common phrase that we all hear from time to time. It's used in so many different ways, and today it's used in three different ways. In the case of the police officer, it meant, "What's the big hurry, dude?" Some use that phrase to ask, "What's all the excitement about?" Another approach and people use is saying to inquire, "Where's your passion? Where's the energy?" You see, any of these questions is appropriate, and they would be asked this Pentecost morning if anyone claiming to be a member of Christ's church. You see, the story of Pentecost in the second chapter of the book of Acts is the birthday of the Christian church. It's the birthday. It is the time when we should be renewed and filled with the Spirit. The story challenges us with the "where's the fire" question in all three different uses. Tongues as of fire descended upon the gathered disciples, and each was transformed. Each and every one was changed. They were turned around. They were able to preach in foreign tongues with such endurance and assurance and passion that they thought they might be drunk. There was an urgency about them in the message that they shared that day. It was something that had to be told. There was authority. There was power in their proclamations. There was deep, intense passion in their words. It caused, to pause. And it causes me this day to stop and think and say, "Okay, but where's the fire now? Where's the fire today? Where is our sense of urgency today? Do you and I still believe that our beliefs and deepest values are matters of life and death? Do we? Do we have hope of eternal life? Do we believe that God is a God who wants the very best for us? For you, for me, for all humanity. Do we truly believe that? You see, in the early church, believers expected an immediate return of Christ. And there was immense pressure to get right with God as quickly as possible. You got to get right now, the day, this moment. The Christian faith truly was a matter of life and death. But today we do not hold a belief of an imminent return of Jesus Christ, but we do live in a world that is a far cry from the kingdom of God that has been promised to us in the Holy Scriptures. You see, we live in a world of horrible injustices. We see them each and every day. Economic inequality, widespread poverty, disease, hunger, and terrorism. It's there, people, every day. It's in our country, it's in our land, it's in our neighborhood. Sometimes it's in our homes. We live in a violent and unpredictable world. There is an overwhelming need in our world today for love and kindness and peace and compassion, healing, forgiveness, and reconciliation. You know, it doesn't take long to be out in the world and see people and just listen and look and be around them to figure out what homes have love and kindness and peace and compassion and understanding and what homes don't. It doesn't take long to see family come into a place and look at each other with disdain and say words of hatred or have no God in their life. It doesn't take long to see those homes where people come in and they're hugging and they're welcoming and they're saying, "Come on in, have a seat. What can I do for you? Can I help you?" It doesn't take long to see that, to hear that, when people aren't used to someone caring for them and helping them. They're wondering, "What have I got to do? Why are they doing this? Who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing?" Sometimes you get asked those questions. We have to be careful. You see, that's the world we're living in, and what are we doing about it? You see, these things are Not nice ideas that can be put off into some vague distant future. No, they're not. We need to deal with them today. You see, the world needs the healing, that healing love of God in Jesus Christ. And then we know when we need it. We need it right now. We need it each and every day. We need it each and every moment of our lives. We need it today. There's no time to wait. The urgency of God's message of forgiveness and redemption and healing and love is as great as today as it's ever been in the world. It's great. The time is now. We should be ready. So where is our fire? Where's the fire? Why are so many people who love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, their spirit, if they do that, why are they so quiet about it? Where's the fire? Where's the excitement? You see, we call the stories of Jesus contained in the Bible, in the Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we call that what? The good news. But it can't be that good if people aren't sharing it. Why aren't you telling somebody about it? When we get good news, we can't wait to share it. How many times do I look on Facebook in any given day and someone says, guess what? I'm going to be a grandma. Guess what? So-and-so's having a baby. Guess what? So-and-so just graduated. Guess what? They're so excited. That's good news. That's happy times in a family, and they're excited and they share it. Are we that eager about telling others or showing them the way we live our lives or being in relationship with them that they know that we love Jesus Christ? And it is so important. It's the good news. You know, when we get it, we can't wait to share it. We want to tell somebody about it. Good news is an exciting thing. Good news is compelling. Good news transcends mere information to touch people's emotions. Good news makes people feel good. So what's the problem? Why aren't we telling people about God and Christ Jesus? Are we afraid to alienate them? Are we afraid to overwhelm them, to scare them? Are we afraid that they will ask us questions that we can't answer? Are we afraid of our faith, people? People, a huge portion today of this world that we live in the United States of America has little or no church background. And even among church growers, a growing number of people have no basic knowledge of the Bible. What's wrong? Why have we failed? Where have we failed? What do we need to get right? What do we need to do? We actually do have a story, people, to tell to the nations, beginning with our own story. And it's so easy. It's so easy. You know, we don't have to be preachers, teachers, scholars, or theologians to tell the story. You know, it's just as easy as putting your hand out and being in relationship with somebody, just talking to them one-on-one. You don't have to just tell them everything in one spout, but just begin to talk to them and share your life with them and get to know them and ask them. And in a little bit, conversation comes up, and guess what? You're telling somebody about your story, about your life, about what is important. And you know what? Those things that are important are going to come forth. And if God and your salvation is important in your life, it's going to come around. It's going to be there. You know, we need to tell our stories of faith. We need to tell our stories. We merely need to be willing to share with other people what our faith means to us and to be able to describe some of those miraculous and marvelous stories from Scripture. We need to see the stories of faith as gifts that we can share with others. We see we have an opportunity and a privilege of introducing others to God, to the God of love and light that gives our life meaning. And we need to own that, and we need to live that, and we need to share that. Where's the fire? What about passion? What about energy and vitality and excitement that gets us up and moving and seeking others with whom to share this amazing faith? How do we do it? Think for a moment about something you absolutely love to do. No one has to ask you twice if you want to play your favorite game, go to see your favorite team play ball, go to your favorite restaurant, or go visit a friend. You're ready to go. Yes, let's go do it. But where's your passion about something You know, it shows. When we are passionate about something in our lives, something we like, something we believe in, we go and do it. It shows in the way we live our life. It shows where our priorities are. We may show our passion and excitement in so many different ways, but it's there. It doesn't take much to tap into it, to say, this is what I like, this is what I love, this is what I believe in. So where is our passion when it comes to our faith? What moves us up and out of our pews and sends us flying out those doors into a world to put our faith to good use? What does it take to get out of this place and go forth and tell? What motivates us to get up and get involved with others, just one-on-one? What does it take to get us up and involved as God has done for us? What does it take to get us moving? Where is our fire? Where's the fire in our lives? You see, as the early disciples were witnessed to the grace of God, they were the great cloud of witnesses. They were there. They witnessed it firsthand, the grace of God incarnate in Christ Jesus. And you and I are the modern-day equivalent of that. You and I are those disciples that have heard that story. It has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. It is us. We are the disciples. We are the church. We are the people that are supposed to be going out and telling and sharing and living our lives. You see, on this Pentecost Sunday, perhaps our prayer should be that the mighty wind of God's Holy Spirit would rush through this sanctuary and fill each and every one of us with a sense of urgency, real excitement, and a consuming passion to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that we meet. Of course, we need to be very careful what we pray for. You know, someone told me that one time, "Preacher, you said something one day and I went home and prayed for patience, and Lord, I'll never do that again in my life." You better be careful what you pray for, because if you ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you and to help you, guess what? He's going to do it. Because God just might take us seriously, folks. He just might say, okay, here it is. We could end up with more than just a warm, fuzzy, comfortable feeling where we fall asleep on Sunday morning in the pew, where we are tired from our week. We could end up blazing brightly, witnessing to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, and hearing again and again, oh, there's the fire. That's where it's at. I see it in the people. I hear it. I know it. That's the fire. That's the fire I want us to have. When we leave this place, is to tell that story. I want us this day to find that story and tell it. Tell your story. Everybody's got a story. 7 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that, my first year or two here, I asked y'all to write your stories, and we shared them in a Bible study class we had, sharing our story. And it was awesome to get to hear the stories of everybody, of your faith, of your journey, from how God had worked in your lives and what you were doing and what had happened and how that faith had grown. And then after that, we got into our favorite hymns, our favorite songs, things of what they meant to us, what they were doing in our lives, how they were changing us and what we were doing. You all have a story, and what are you doing about it? Where's your fire today? Are you ready to go and share? Let us pray. Oh, great and mighty God, I thank you this day for who you are in our lives, and I thank you on this Pentecost Sunday that you went and you descended upon those disciples, that your Spirit poured out upon them and they were just transformed that very day. They went out preaching and teaching into all the world, those Galileans, those people that others didn't quite believe in. They were just, wow, somebody from a different country, from a different race, somebody that looked different and talked different and acted different, were coming and speaking and preaching and teaching to all the world. And it's still happening today, Lord. We ask that you just put that fire upon us and allow us to be that living example. Allow our testimony to be strong in how we live our lives, that it is shown in the way we do things and the way we give and the way we live and share and tell, that people will know. And to know, Lord, that we need to let go of the little mess of life that constrains us and haunts us and bogs us down, and to allow our spirit to flow through. We need to get over ourselves once in a while, and to let your Spirit shine through in all the world. We've a story to tell, Lord, and allow us. Give us that Spirit upon us so we can go from this place and we can tell that story. Be with us now, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.